it's just like a closet. Say, I think a lot of people in there.
Welcome to how the other half works.
Yeah, I know, right? Cool. Got the mood lighting and everything. It's good.
Nick, what did you think about what Brandon Brooks said, that he deliberately restructured his deal just so you get more money?
You know, I think that, you know, for him to do that was pretty awesome as a teammate, you know, because we restructured my contract as well. It just says a lot about the guys we have on this team. It says a lot about him, and, you know, I was, you know, grateful for him and just a great teammate.
Who initiated the contract restructuring?
You know, it was sort of a mutual thing. You know, we had been talking about it just because of the situation we're in. You know, the contract, if you really analyze it, benefits. It's really a good, good contract. You know, it benefits me. It also benefits the team as well. They have an option on me. We were able to, you know, create something that, you know, basically protected me, protected the team, because it is a unique situation we're in right now. You know, but I'm glad that we were able to work through it. I'm excited about being here, I've always been excited about being a part of the Eagles franchise.
Speaking of unique, I mean, the fact that there's a mutual option. How was that presented to you, and why was that something that you guys wanted?
You know, I think it was just, once again, we were restructuring the deal just because of the unique situation, what happened last year. You know, I had one more year on my contract here, and it was just something that both sides sort of thought of, created, and it really does make a lot of sense for this situation. So I think it does work well with both parties.
It's rare to go from Super Bowl MVP to potential backup quarterback. How do you feel about that potential situation this year?
You know, that it is a crazy situation. I don't know how many times it's happened. It's never happened. But at the same time, you know, we were just talking about the contract, and, you know, this is a special place. You know, I was asked, I know that the interview I did in Austin, Texas, where I was asked if I did want to be a star again. Well, you know, all of us play this game. We all have aspirations, and, you know, we all believe we can go out there and step in a huddle, do things, and then help lead a team. You know, that is an aspiration. It always has been. But you also have to look at the situation, like where you're at, because you don't want to overlook a situation, because we're in a very special place. This locker room is a very special place. Do I want to lead a team again? Absolutely. But am I trying to, you know, run away and do that right now? Well, if it presents itself and that works out, then fine, I'll live in that moment. But at the same time, I'm so grateful to be a part of this organization. You know, like I said, it is a really special place. And, you know, I'm excited about what this team has this year.
Did you consider forcing the issue in the sense of going to them and say, please give me an opportunity to start somewhere else?
No, there's no talk about that at all. It was one of those things where, you know, if that arose and that happened, we'd talk about, you know, the team's done a great job. Howie's done a great job of, you know, if anything does arise, you know, we're going to have a conversation about it. I mean, that's a big part of why I came here, is the relationships, the people. You know, I've been on the side of being traded and going through that thing without knowing, and they're aware of that as well. So whatever happens, we're going to be in open communication and talk about it, and that's something that, you know, not every franchise does, and, you know, I'm glad Howie, you know, will do that. And but at the same time, I'm excited to be here.
Would this be possible? Is there anybody in your life, whether it's a family member, agent, teammate, who is suggest to you you ought to be banging the table right now to be somewhere else for more money, for all that stuff? Have there been people saying to you, you have an opportunity here, use your leverage?
I mean, there's always been people that are going to say that. I mean, let's keep it real. But at the same time, it's my decision. It's my wife and I sitting down and talking. So we'll listen, but at the same time, you know, you got to look at the moment where you're at. I've seen both sides of it. You know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Do I want an opportunity to lead a team again? Absolutely. But am I trying to run away and do it right now? Well, you know, I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful that the team was able to work through a restructure that, you know, benefited me and the team. We have a great team here. We have a great coaching staff. We play for the greatest city, you know, in the United States. I mean, this is a special town. I mean, we see what's going on with the Sixers right now. How cool is that? We saw what's going on with Villanova, the parades. You know, there's so much, you know, we have my daughter. There's so much here that, you know, I really enjoy. I love it here. So I'm not banging on the table at all. I'm really grateful to be in this moment. That mindset hasn't changed. All I'm telling y'all is what y'all already knew and everyone knew. I can't believe that I actually had to come out and say I want to be a starter again, because I've always believed that your actions speak louder than words. I shouldn't have to come out and say, hey, I should be a starter again, because if I'm saying that, there's a lot of guys that say that shouldn't be starters. the key is to go out on the field and lead your team, to show people, like, hey, this guy is a good guy in the locker room. He can lead a team. He did it on the field. He's shown it. And to me, that's what I always had to do. And if it takes a team hearing me, like, I actually can do that, then I can say that. But right now, I'm a part of this team. I'm a piece of the puzzle. I'm going to help this team win in any way possible, whatever my role is. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm going to do it with a lot of joy because I've seen the other side of it. And I have a lot of joy going to work here and enjoying the people, working with the people I work with.
Nick, would this be possible if you and Carson weren't so close?
Would.
This whole situation.
Yeah, I mean, it could be tricky for sure. But, him and I are close. Nate, Carson, me, like, we have such a great, group that works like a dynamic. And it is a lot of fun to go to work. Carson's doing a great job of, working his butt off to get healthy. Nate's excelling every day. I'm excelling. I'm working. It's a great room to work in where, we understand our roles. But at the same time, we all want what's best for each other. We all want to help each other. And that's something that when I say this place is a very special place to work, that is included in that statement because it really is.
Nick, football-wise, two guys you work very closely with, Frank and John, are now gone. You talked about that room. It's early, obviously, but have you gotten the feel for how that's going to work with the changes in the coaching staff?
Yeah, with Frank and John leaving, those two are tremendous coaches. They were a huge reason, we were so productive on offense last year and did a lot of great things. But, and I wish them well. They're going to do great things, in Indy and in Minnesota. Just not when they play us. But, with Coach Groh and Coach Taylor, I mean, those guys are tremendous coaches. They've been there every step of the way. I've seen, press, grow every single year he's been here, and he's a tremendous coach. I'm excited to work with him. I'm excited to work with Coach Groh. They bring a lot of knowledge and understanding to the table, whether it's schematically, fundamentally. We've already been able to work with them the last week and, just going through meetings, talking to them, going through our offense. They have so much knowledge, so I'm excited to work with them. They're going to do a great job.
When they stepped in for Carson in December, you knew that you were going to ride that out to the end of the season. Now you're starting the spring. You're going to be the guy taking all the first-team reps. And you're going to take it for a while. We don't know to when, but you're going to be, at some point, Carson's going to come back and take over. How do you approach it differently versus what you just went through?
I'm going to go back to what I talked about last time I talked to y'all. I was just sort of living in the moment. My moment right now is to help this team, in practice and when we throw, whenever we do things, while Carson's getting healthy, and whenever, he gets healthy and, gets back out there, which I'm excited for. I'm excited. I want him to get back out there, get healthy, get back to Carson Wentz, who he was, where he, I want him to, start off where he left off. That excites me from being, from a teammate's perspective, from a friend's perspective. But right now it's just living in the moment, doing what I can to help this team day in and day out, and really just enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of hard work, but it's a lot of fun to work here. It's a lot of fun to work with these guys. So I enjoy it. So that's really it. I'm just living in the moment. It hasn't changed. My mindset won't change. There's definitely times where I'm tempted to look at the future like any of us are. I'd be lying if that wasn't the case. But you have to reel back in and stay in the present because that doesn't do you any benefit.
How do you think weigh both sides of that, between the obvious aspirations to be a starter again versus – what you said is a special situation here?
Yeah, I think that that's a great question. It's not easy because, part of you wants to be able to lead a team and step in the huddle, but the other part of you, I think the big thing is, I've been very blessed to experience so much in my career that whenever those thoughts sort of hit you, you have to hone back in and say, all right, you take from what I learned early in my career when I went to St. Louis, when I went to Kansas City, where I am here, and this is a really great spot. And I really just need to worry about today. And the reason is tomorrow's not guaranteed. Today, like this moment is. And I'm going to enjoy it and do it to the best of my ability. And it really makes everything a lot easier because whatever's going to happen is going to happen. A lot of it really has no control over what I decide. If I'm traded, then it's really not my decision. We might talk about it. But so why would I even worry about it? So all I'm doing right now is I'm going to be the best teammate I can be. I'm going to love on these guys. I'm going to get to know them, as people, not just football players. And then, we're going to go from there.
Nick, can you watch the game again? And if you have, what are your thoughts?
I have not, like, watched the game from, like, our film perspective. I've seen a lot of the I sat down with either my dad or my father-in-law and watched the FX. They said the FX was pretty cool with the sound effects of the game and everything. So it's sort of like the quick highlight reel of the game, which is awesome because it doesn't. It's one of those things where, I mean, it's the Super Bowl. You're watching it. You're looking through it. You're seeing the sounds, the emotions, and you know you're really one of the only guys in the world that can say like you really felt what was going on with your teammates. So it's really cool to just sort of reflect on it and hear the sounds of the game. I think the FX does a good job of portraying it as real as they can.
On the fourth and goal play, on the Philly play.
Yeah.
What made you suggest that?
It was a gut feeling. Doug and I had talked about it for weeks about when we'd want to call it, and the situation that we had sort of talked about, Doug had sort of talked about, second half, of the game, we need to go up by two scores, it's going to be a second or third and short, like that'd be, and that's a good time to bust that thing out. Super Bowl changes things. I knew that we had that in our back pocket, and I wanted to get it called, because Super Bowl, it's the last game, so you want to get it called. And that situation, whenever we call a timeout, just seemed like it just came to my head, like, this is the perfect situation to call this play. It just felt right. I felt great. I felt like this would, sort of throw New England off. So when you see in the clip, because I've seen the clip where I say Philly, the Philly special, it shows a lot about Doug and, how he trusts his players. Because on his headset, there's so much going on. All the coaches are trying to figure out what personnel package we need to be in, what play we're going to run, all that. But he just says, let's go do it, And all the guys are excited in the huddle, say the play call, go do it. And it's just one of those ones where it was a gut feeling. We were playing ball, living in the moment, just sort of, hey, this is perfect. And now, crazy enough, it's a legendary Super Bowl play. And because of when it happened and how it happened, and it's pretty awesome.
And how critical do you think chemistry was last year, and what will it be? What's the challenge to replicate that kind of chemistry?
Yeah, I think chemistry is one of the greatest things a team has, and it's not talked about enough, and it really comes down to end of games, when adversity hits, fourth down calls, like the crucial points in games, that's when the chemistry, the love for your teammates, that relationship sort of comes into full effect because you need a little something extra in those moments. The team last year, amazing, just because of the core group of guys and the coaches and just everyone in this building. It starts from Mr. Lurie down. I mean, they do it the right way. This year, obviously some guys left. They had great opportunities to go play elsewhere or just how the league works. We'll draft guys. We'll sign free agents. We'll sign young rookies. And then we're going to teach them how we do it here in Philadelphia, and then we're going to bring them along. We're going to get to know them as people, and we're going to help them as players. So I think every year you just want to keep getting better and better, and it's all about that family aspect. Everyone talks about it, but not all the teams do it, and this place does it. And that's why this team was so special. That's why the team was able to accomplish the goal of winning, being Super Bowl champions.
Have you talked to Carson since the contract extension?
I wouldn't even phrase it as a contract extension. It's a contract restructure is what it is. It's not even an extension. I didn't sign an extension. We gave an option. I can buy back my option if it is exercised to be a free agent. So it was a good deal. There's no need to talk about it. It's one of those things where the team and I worked through something. Carson still knows where he is. Yeah. It's just one of those things where in him and I's relationship, it wasn't like, oh, wow. It was more like, I know he's happy for me and, my life, but at the same time, we know our situation. We're going to help each other, be the best teammates we can be. And, he's going to continue to get healthy to be ready to rock and roll.
The reason why I asked, the team would only exercise it because it is pay you as a starter if something were to happen to Carson. So, again, it's another thing that I wonder, you guys, there's still another thing you guys have to worry about in terms of contract and how it relates to both of you.
No, we don't have to worry about that at all. And I think that, we had talked earlier about the relationship in the QB room and the relationship with Carson, and that's the reason. Him and I have a relationship to where that's not an issue. And like I said, if the option is ever exercised, I always have the opportunity to become a free agent because I can buy it back. What's that?
How's life different being the Super Bowl MVP?
I'm still the same person. Just can't go many places. I say that's it. It is different just walking around, I'd say maybe expectations from different people that, you know, we're still the same people. We haven't changed, but it might be perceived that way. Like, I'm just talking about my wife and, you know, my family, you know, like how we are. Because, I mean, it's a lot. You know, it is a lot that you go through. Winning the Super Bowl is a big stage. Being named MVP is a big stage. So that is something that you have to – I don't know if you'll ever get used to it, but it eventually probably dies down a little bit to where you can handle that. Because I'm a pretty simple person. Y'all have known me for a long time. I'm not going to change. Like, y'all know my number one priorities are my faith and my family. That will never change. But I'd say the stage of it is something that, you know, I'm acclimating to still.
Is there an opportunity to go to the White House?
What was that?
The White House is one of the news of the day. The team may go there. People have different opinions about going there. How do you feel about that?
You know, whatever the team decides, I'm going to be with the team. You know, whatever this team, I've always said that about this decision. It's, you know, I'm a part of this organization, so whatever the organization decides, I'll be with the organization.
We talked to you the morning after, the next morning, early the next morning, and you said it still didn't seem real. And then I think you flew to Disney World that night or that day.
Right after that.
Yeah. At what point did it seem real? At what point did you kind of, hey, this really happened to me?
Still working on it. You know, it's just, I don't know if it'll ever really set in. I don't know if it's ever really meant to, because it's that great of something to be a part of. And to do it in the city of Philadelphia with the guys I did it with, you know, after everything that had gone on, it's always something that's very humbling. It's very special. I feel undeserving to be a part of it. And it's just something that, you know, I wake up, there's times where I wake up and I walk in and see the banner and be like, wow, did that really happen? Though, when I look at my locker and I see the Eagles colors and I see my locker, there's part of me sometimes it's just like I'm a part of the Philadelphia Eagles because I was once, you know, not here. So I'm still adjusting to all that. But I think it's really special for the city. It was really special for me to be a part of it. It's really special for everyone in that locker room. It will be forever. I've run into so many people across the country because I live in California in the off season. That's where my wife's from. For you know, we'll probably raise our kids. And there's Eagles fans everywhere. Grown men coming up to me at dinner when I'm with my father. Pretty macho guys that all of a sudden break down and cry. And you see the emotion in the heart of it. Like they've waited their whole life. Their father waited his whole life. Their grandmother. And I know when we won the game, all of us in this locker room realized that, and that's why it was so special, because we did it in such a unique, special city. And that's why, like, when everyone wants to talk about, hey, you want to go start here? Yeah, I have aspirations to lead a team. Do I wish I could play my whole career here? Absolutely. But I know the situation. I'm grateful for that. But I am grateful to be in this locker room at this moment, to be here, because I genuinely love this city with all my heart.
Nick,
so
Nick, the draft is one more. Yeah, the draft is in 2 days. Are you curious at all? You have one of your rivals, the Giants, has the number 2 pick. That can be a place where a team can change its fortunes.
I didn't even know they had a number 2 pick.
Okay,
so
there you go. So you're not thinking much about how it might play out and affect things.
You know what? I've never been – I don't watch many sports. The draft I watched was the one I was in, and the power went out the house, so I technically didn't even watch it when I was drafted. All I know is about the draft is it's such a cool opportunity for these young rookies to live out their dream. It's really a special moment, and I'm just – talking from experience, we'll have it on to see, you know, because I think the big thing is, like, these guys have worked hard their entire life to have an opportunity to be in the NFL. It doesn't matter if they go to the Giants, the Cowboys, the Redskins. Like, I'm really happy for those individuals because they're living out their dream. They're living out their family's dream, and they're going to be able to do a lot of great things with it. I'm excited to see who we get. I'm excited to see who we sign as free agent, because if y'all don't – I mean, remember Corey Clement, I mean – won a draft pick, dude's pretty darn good. So, you know, I'm excited to see who our new members of our team will be, so we can take them in and get to know them as people and just sort of help them in their rookie year, because that rookie year is a big year. And this is a great team to go to, because you have a lot of veterans that are going to want to help those rookies out, help those free agents out, help those draft picks out, and help them grow, and because we're going to need them to play well.
Take one more for Rob.
Yeah, but the game was over. There's a lot of talk about Tom Brady not coming over, no handshake. Do you have any explanation for why that happened? Were you disappointed by it?
No, we haven't, and I'm sure we will someday. I mean, y'all saw it. Y'all were there. Chaos happens very quickly. I mean, the clock hit zero. I got to enjoy 1 second to myself, and then for the next 4 hours, it's a blur. And I, you know, it's one of those things where it's crazy, and, you know, I think the world of Tom Brady is one greatest ever. is, you know, I really enjoy getting to compete against him and his team on that stage. So I know someday I'll run into him. We'll have a great conversation. And, no, I still think he's a tremendous player, you know, great role model for everyone.
All right.
Thank you all. Thank you.